Well, good morning, Jacob's Well. How are you all doing today? You don't actually all have to answer right now, but I do want to know. Catch me later. So, for a lot of us, life is like this jacket. If it's making you as uncomfortable as it is me. Yeah, you know, things need to change. You know, we grow and the world grows around us, but there's some things that we like them the way they were, and we just don't want to change. We don't want it to ever have to give anything up and have anything be different than it used to be. And then that becomes a problem. You know, as we grow, our lives automatically develop physically, mentally, emotionally, intellectually, all those sorts of ways. But spiritually, you know, spiritual growth doesn't happen automatically. It happens because we choose to work with it and to start seeing the world beyond kind of ourselves, beyond the world that just sort of grows naturally. And for most of us, we don't do it too much. And so our spiritual life ends up being like this jacket. Yeah, you know, kind of nice, but probably not what we want. So basically, if you want to boil down what we're talking about, we're in our third week of this series, The 3D Life. And we're talking, you know, about what this life is all like. And we were talking about how God inspires us last week. But this week, we're talking about how we grow and how that becomes part of who we are. And basically, that's just it. I mean, everything I have to say can be boiled down to these couple of words, and that is God inspires you to make you grow. I mean, that's the whole purpose of inspiration, is to make you grow. And so you're not like you were before. Now, the problem is, you know, we say things like, well, but I like what I had. I mean, I really like this jacket. It brings back memories of my first dance in junior high when I wore it, you know. And, you know, it's kind of neat. It's a great pattern, you know, just all kinds of good stuff about it. And I don't want to have to go shopping and find a new one and wonder if it's cool or not, because I know this one's cool. And no comments. And, you know, so we resist that. But God inspires us to make us change. Change is inevitable. Change, it isn't inevitable. Change is something that we need to embrace. So Jesus is talking, and Jesus says something that maybe you very likely have heard this before. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Just stop there quickly. The vine and the branches are both really good things. I mean, you don't get grapes with both vine and branches, right? So Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We're both essential to what God wants to have happen here. And it says, when you've joined with me and I with you, the relationship, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, the vine and the branches, that is, you can't produce a thing. Now, I love this. If we're going to become what we're intended to be, we need to be joined. But God says that it's this coming together, right? We're talking about the 3D life. And I love how this talks about how that kind of life, this life that is producing what it needs to produce, it's becoming what it needs to become, happens. It says, when you're joined with me and I with you, we're both essential, right? God's you, God's input into our life, and our input into the life. This is something we work together in. That's the 3D, all right? Seeing the same thing from two different perspectives and putting them together to make it entirely different. A whole new world. That's what God is calling us to. As we dive into this message, let's just start with a word of prayer. God, a lot of our lives, maybe our entire lives, we pretty much look at the world through our own lens. We just see it as it looks to a human being. That's not enough. We ask that you join us to the vine. We ask that you help us to not only bring what we have to the table, but that we open ourselves to what you have at the table as well, so that what we can be about is bigger and can actually help us to become something. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let me just recap real quickly, all right? We're talking about this 3D life, and maybe you got a little view of it from that, but, you know, 3D, you go to a movie, and you get these goofy glasses, and the whole premise behind it is the two lenses are made differently so that each of your eyes sees a different image, and when those two images come together, you see it as if it is 3D. It looks three-dimensional to you, all right? Now, that's an illusion, a trick that they can do with your eyes. You are actually looking at a 2D image, but it looks 3D. And the 3D life really works the same way, except it's not an illusion. It's the... Ooh. And that I think I solved the problem. A point later on is this whole 3D thing doesn't make you perfect. All right? So I just wanted to illustrate that really well. So that's kind of the idea of how this all works. So if you you know, pull out your Sunday paper and turn over, you will find an outline if you'd like to follow along on that and put a few things that you can look at later, take to group life so you can talk about it with others, whatever. So the basic idea is that this is about growing, okay? It's not just having an idea, but it's actually about growing. And growing is hard. Growing is hard. Yeah, whether it was a growing pains as a kid or just going through all those transitions, it's tough stuff for us to do. If growing was so easy that we all just went and did it, we wouldn't have to talk about stuff like this. It wouldn't even come up as a subject because it would just happen. We'd all be after it. But we don't. We drag our feet about it, and it's hard. But the fact is, whether it's hard or not, God inspires us, God inspires you, God inspires me, so that we will grow. And that grow means change, and change means loss, and loss means pain, and that's why it's so hard. Now, to try to get at this a little bit, what I want to do today is just talk a little bit about, you know, what this change is all about and how growing happens within us, and then talk about what we can do to help us support that growing and let God do what God is trying to do in our lives. But to kind of understand this and why going from being inspired by God to growing with God is maybe so difficult, you need to understand the most difficult journey you will ever make in your life. And that longest and hardest journey you ever do in your life is only 18 inches long. And it's a journey from your head to your heart. It's a tough one. It seems so simple, and it is so hard. Because it is so tempting to know something, but to not to be it. It's not to embrace it. And we play that all the time, especially in our 21st century intellectual world, where knowing and knowledge and being on top of things and stuff like that is so important and so elevated in importance and so on. And so we do it all the times. But growing is a journey from your head to your heart. And that's what we're talking about today. How do you take this stuff that you're inspired with and actually incorporate it into your being? How does it become part of your heart? Now, we've introduced this intellectualism, like I said, in a way that trips us up all the time. We think we don't have to bring things into our heart. No, in fact, we've done it in terms of like what we do as followers of God, as people of God, by turning belief into like an intellectual game, right? We've really missed the whole understanding of what belief is. And we've said, and we've kind of developed a system that believing is a whole list of things that you're supposed to, you know, intellectually agree with, all right? There are propositions that when you agree with, you assent to them, then you're a good Christian. You know, that's all head stuff. And it isn't about head stuff. In fact, the word believe is properly translated as the word trust. I mean, belief, right? Why would you have faith? Faith, belief, trust. They really mean the same thing. And in fact, in the languages of the Bible, as you've probably heard me say before, it's always the same word. In English, we just translate it into these different words. Faith and trust and belief, they all mean the same thing. And they're not knowing, are they? No. They're believing something. Something you can't quite know. Something you can't prove. Is something you're going to have to take a leap of, something that really is going to end, in the end, come from your heart. But we played this game and said, well, if I intellectually agree with these things, and it basically, you know, it starts with, do you agree that God exists? And if you say yes, then magically God poofs into existence. Well, that's kind of silly, isn't it? But here's what is funny, and what is true, that when you don't, like, intellectually say, I believe in God, but when you, with your heart, say, I trust God, the kingdom of God does poof into existence. I mean that seriously. Because suddenly, when you say, I trust, don't say, but you, when you do trust God with yourself, now you are seeing the world the way God does. You are beginning to line up your will with God's will. You are starting to be not the actor with just a human perspective looking at the world, but an actor in the world that has your perspective, your knowledge, your vantage points, but also is enlightened by a God who sees the fabric of existence so much deeper than you, at such longer terms, such higher hopes and bigger dreams than you could ever have. And your actions, your being present in the world, starts enacting the kingdom. By that, I mean you start being about things like love that is more than you could imagine. Forgiveness no longer seems like such a horrible thing to do, but something that frees you to be able to do. Generosity isn't only, you know, giving another buck away. Generosity is finding how you can actually be wealthy with the things that you have been given. That's what it's all about. So growing, and this is on your outline, growing is a transformation of belief from knowing to trusting. Growing is a transformation of belief from knowing to trusting. So belief, don't intellectualize it, personalize it. Don't let it be cerebral, let it be relational. And it isn't about knowing, it's about trusting. Those are some basic things. If you go to the Jacob's Well website and you look for, you know, what does Jacob's Well believe, like what are the doctrines that we hang on to, you're going to look a long, long time because you'll never find it. I get a lot of crap for that. People say, how aren't you telling us what you believe? And I say, well, for one thing, we don't all believe it. You know, that would be about conformity, right? If you want to be part of this community, you have to subscribe to all the same, you know, doctrines and stuff like that. That's not an expectation here. We're all on journeys. We're trying to figure this out. The other thing that it says about it is somehow that we could be a church, you know, in our heads. If we believe all this same stuff, somehow we're right, and that makes us in the right relationship with God. Like, it's made out of agreeing to the right, propositions of truth or something like that. No, it isn't. I think when people come to Jacob's Well, what they're looking for isn't, you know, what are the doctrines that we all agree on? They're looking at, how do we live? How does what we do and how we meet and how we gather and how we know each other change who we are in the world? I think that's what it's all about. You can't put that on a website. You've got to live that. It doesn't come from your head. It comes from your heart. So growing then, to take this the next step, growing takes the ideas of inspiration that we talked about yesterday or last week. They're really important. Growing takes the ideas of inspiration and turns them into an identity. Turns them into an identity. It makes you someone. It turns you into a person. Inspired, great. We need to be inspired. But has that changed who you see yourself to be? Now, I want to take you on a little soap experience here, and don't worry, I'm not going to make you turn and talk to each other and do all that other healthy stuff this week. That's good for you. I'll give you a break, but I want you to walk through this passage with me and see it. I think this is actually pretty amazing. It comes from 2 Corinthians. If you're doing soap, which I'll say a little bit about in a minute, but if you're doing soap, you've been reading out of 1 Corinthians this week and for the next couple weeks until we finish that book. This is the second letter that kind of accompanies 1 Corinthians. It was written by Paul, this apostle, one of the very first really disciples of Jesus after the time of Jesus, who spread the church through kind of the known world of that time. And he's writing this. And first of all, I'm just going to read it to you. It's on your Sunday papers. It'll be on the screen as well. And then I want to back up and unpack a little bit of it because I think it really helps us understand what growing is all about and how God does it with us. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, I would expect most of you are going, huh? Because that is incredibly, like, convoluted, just at face value. And you didn't get much time to spend with it. But I want to take a peek at this. I want to crack it open with you a little bit and make some observations. All right, so that's what soap is. Soap is, you know, you read a part of the Bible, a chapter, you know, a bunch of verses, a couple of paragraphs, whatever, and you pick out the sentence, a phrase, you know, a couple lines, and this is kind of a long one. I have one line within that, but this is kind of like these five lines are kind of my soap. And then the O is you observe about it. The A is how do I apply it to me? And then P is turn into a prayer. Like, okay, God, I kind of have this insight, these ideas, these questions, whatever, and I just want to, you know, share that with you. Something that you can do in about 10 minutes any day. Hopefully, probably in the morning is a good time to do it. Okay, but as you read that, my first big question mark that comes up says, like, what's this all about is this word reconcile, which is in there over and over and over again in lots of different forms, and it just sort of drove me nuts as I read it. I wanted to just, like, keep going and forget this. But then I thought, well, what is that about? It's obviously key here. What does the word reconcile mean? And you know what it is. You know, if you have a checking account and the bank gives you your statement, there are people I have heard that reconcile the two together, which means they match them up so that they make sense with each other. Anybody heard of anyone ever doing that? Yeah, once upon a time. So that's reconciling. So it's taking two things and making them one, making them agree with each other, putting them together. I would almost kind of say it's bringing two things or different things and bringing them into focus. So just kind of work with me. You know, I'm probably, you know, doing five or six levels of heresy in this right now, but that's okay. I'm known for that. Let's use the word focus for reconcile. And look at this again. And I want to walk through it a little bit more slowly with you now. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. All right? 3D glasses. We regard no one, I'll throw in the word only. All right? We don't regard no one only looking through one lens. Not even Christ, whom we used to look at simply as a human being, like who was he as a human being? All right? But we don't look only through one lens anymore. Oh, jeez, wrong glasses. That works. Then it goes on. So if anyone is in Christ, I'll come back to that, there is a new creation. When we see someone through two lenses at the same time, the human point of view and the divine or God's point of view, there is a new creation. Suddenly something totally new is discovered and seen. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Even you have become new, a new identity, a new being. You've grown. All this is from God. It was inspired. It was given to you. You couldn't do this on your own. God gave you the second lens of the glasses so you could see it that way. All right? All this is from God who, now this gets kind of interesting and maybe a little geeky theologian, but all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given, okay, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Whoa, what's going on there? It says, okay, our problem is that we see the world with only the human lens, right? We're missing the God lens. God said, I have a problem. I'm seeing the world only through the God lens. And I can't really do what I meant with creation until I see it through two lenses. That second lens, that person lens, a human perspective, is not only, it's not bad, it's not only limited, it's essential. It's part of creation. And if people are going to understand me, if people are going to be partners with me, co-creators with me, not only do they have to see the world through both lenses, so do I. That's why Christ was so essential. In Jesus, God put on the glasses and saw the world through our perspective. He could suddenly bridge the gap so that love could be real and we could be part of what that's all about. All this is from God. It was a gift from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. He bridged us together. He brought us into focus together by being Jesus. And then God now has given us the ministry. God has given us the job of reconciliation. God has given us the job of bringing the world into this focus. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world, bringing the world into focus to himself, not counting the trespasses, not counting the inability for people to see the 3D picture of the world. God said, I know they can't do that. I'm not going to hold that against them. That's impossible that they'd be able to do that. And entrusting the message then of reconciliation of, entrusting the ministry of reconciliation to us. Let's put it this way. God entrusted us. God gave us a 3D life franchise. God gave you, is giving you a 3D life franchise. You now are one of the people who can get it, who can have it, who can show it to other people, who can live it out, who can make it real in this world. God wants you to grow. God has given you a new identity, and it's all kind of summed up in the last verse. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Christ being the summation of the 3D glasses. I see the world both ways, and I have become the world both ways, and I live in the world both ways. We got that franchise now. It's our job. We are the body of Christ. We are Christ to other people. Does that make sense? It's hard to think about, but is that a calling? Is that an identity God is giving you? Is that a reason why God is inspiring you? God is giving you insights, and God is saying, please, look for little glimmers. Look for the insights. Look for the possibilities of hope and dreams and of what you could be. You're never going to get it all figured out, and that's okay. But step by step, see the world this way and know that you can walk that way. Know that's who you are. That's who you are, who you were created to be. So I want to move on with that, but I want to just stop there a little bit, because hopefully a lot of you are doing soap, and hopefully some more of you are going to try that this week. And when we pass the offering baskets, after a little bit, take out one of these slips that has the readings for the week on it, all the way through next Sunday. It's also on Facebook and our website or whatever. Give us a call. So give it a try. 10 minutes in the morning is a great way to do it. It'll work for you. But as you do it, you're going to run into all kinds of problems. I've already heard just all kinds of people and the frustrations, the difficulties I have with some of these readings and so on. You know, I'd like to say, well, it's going to get better, but it won't. Let's face it, the Bible is 2,000 plus years old. There's a little distance between that. I don't care what they do with the language. We're hearing voices from a long time ago. There's a lot of distance. And that doesn't mean that the wisdom, the truth, that whatever God is trying to communicate to us isn't there. But we got to work for that, okay? A couple of things. As you're reading in 1 Corinthians, which again is Paul, Paul's really writing to a very specific time and place. And if, particularly this week, you're going to find a lot of stuff you kind of have to wade through, all right? It really kind of in some... If I was to break the Bible into two components, there's one component is that there are some universal truths, stuff that is spoken that we just need to know and follow. And then there's the other part of the Bible, which is most of it, and that is application of those universal truths. You're not supposed to do things the way they did them 2,000 years ago, necessarily. What you do is you learn from how they applied it in their day. You try to figure out, well, what is the basic? What is the real truth behind all that? And how did they apply it? And how does that give us hints of how we might apply it to our world today? It probably, in most cases, won't be the same. And that's okay. And we will also probably disagree about how it should be done. That's okay. I mean, I think disagreement is a great form of conversation. And we can respect each other for that. Just a couple of little things. And if you look at the bottom of your Sunday paper, bottom of the outline, there's a few things. It says, some help with the enigmatic Bible. All right? Now, I chose the word enigmatic on purpose because a lot of people don't know what it is, and it's a confusing word. Exactly. All right. So if that's confusing, all you have to do is say, okay, that's what he's trying to say about the Bible. It's really confusing. So some help with it. The first thing then is you're going to see this continuum on there. I call it the truth continuum. And can you bring that up on the screen? It's on your Sunday papers. There you go. And the truth continuum is like this. It stretches from side to side. On one side, which side is it? Over here you got facts. Certainty. 2 plus 2 equals, wow, mass agreement. Okay, you know? That is accurate. That is correct. On the other hand, you've got all this stuff. You have fiction. You know, you have a story like The Great Gatsby. Or you've got, stories that come from the Bible. You have Jesus parables. They weren't facts. Those are just stories Jesus made up. Now, the question is, on this truth continuum, where do you find truth? Is truth over here with the facts and the certainties, or is truth over here with the fiction and the stories? Both, neither. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, isn't it? Sometimes a story can contain and convey truth much better than facts can. I mean, we're masters of using facts to substantiate things that are not true at all. Called politics. But, that's how it works. We need to wrestle with it no matter where it is. And so the Bible uses a whole scheme. To think that the Bible cannot be true and cannot tell us truth without being always historically accurate or scientifically accurate is to miss the point of what truth is and how truth works. All right? The Bible was never intended to be historically or scientifically accurate. The writers didn't even know what our understanding of scientific and historical accuracy was. How could they write to it? They had their own view of it at that time. All right? So that's one thing. The other little note I just want to say about this, and hopefully this helps you a little bit as you read through some of these things, is that the whole idea of truth in the first place. I've been asked a lot of times, Greg, you know, you have things like this little fixture of Jacob's Well, nothing is written in stone, written in stone. But, you know, people say, is there no absolute truth for you, Greg? And my answer is always this: yes, there is absolute truth, but I can't do anything with it, all right? Capital T truth, that's what I use for absolute truth. Capital truth, T truth exists. I can sense it. I can get glimpses of it. I can't hold it. As soon as I try to understand, put into words, tell you something that was capital T truth, I have reduced it to small t truth because it went through me. It went through my limitations of language, of knowledge, of being able to understand the cosmos completely enough. And I give you a reduced, it doesn't mean it's inaccurate, doesn't mean it's bad or wrong, but it's no longer capital T truth. It's small t truth. That's okay. That's what humans, what we have to do. We can sense, we get glimpses, we have these moments of aha in enlightenment when we see capital T truth, but we can sense that, but we can't hold it. But we hold a small t truth. We need to be okay with that. God is okay with that. That means we're imperfect, and we will always be imperfect. Our expressions of God and of community, our expressions of love and forgiveness are always going to be imperfect. It's okay. It's okay. We're human beings. We were created to be human beings, not gods. So that's okay. So just a few things about that. All right, I want to jump back in here and talk a little bit more about this growing business, all right, and this idea of identity. So just to remember that it isn't about the idea, the learning, the insight, except when those things lead us to a new identity. That's what God is all about. You know, you get coached in order to become an athlete. You go to education school to become a teacher. You go to law school to become a criminal, lawyer, sorry, obligatory lawyer joke. You love your kids and you become a parent. You spend time with other people and get to know them in order to become a friend. We learn stuff, we get inspired, we have new ideas, not to have them, but to become someone, to take on a new identity. So, and I think it's important at this point, kind of as I was saying earlier, is that when we talk about this kind of growing, when we talk about becoming what this inspiration is, don't think this means that somehow you're supposed to nail it, that you could become perfect, all right? That that's even a goal. Don't think that your problems that you have as parents or as a person or whatever, they will go away if you could get this stuff right and if you could become what God wanted you to become. Or that's even could be a goal. Or if you do have these problems, it means that you haven't been doing it right. That's not what we're talking about. And maybe this next point kind of helps clarify that a little bit. And that growing isn't about becoming perfect. Growing is part of being a child of God. I think I could sum up, you know, what the identity we all share together is in a couple of terms. And one of them is certainly child of God. God wants you to see yourself as God's own child. Now, why? Think about this. And think about a child's relationship to their parent. Does a child that's small at all rely on their parents for anything? You know, like everything. I mean, a child without some kind of adult who's caring for them and looking after them for their well-being just is not going to be able to grow and become a healthy human being at all. All right? But does your child, think about yourself. When you were a kid, did you know how your parents put it all together? I mean, did you know how your parents made their living and what they did and how they got the house and the car and took care of the car and financed the car and took care of things like insurance and picked out a school? I mean, when I didn't even think to ask those kinds of questions. What did I do? I didn't know about my parents that much. I trusted my parents. And because I could trust those basics of life to my parents, I was free to grow. And to grow within the sphere of their love and their encouragement and their help. God is looking for us to be able to do the same thing. God says, it's great for you to know about me, but what I want you to do is trust me, because you're going to need to trust me. You don't even know what to ask about me. So just let go of that a little bit and trust me. Jesus was gathered with the disciples, and some kids were coming, and the disciples chased them away, and Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." He's not saying that you don't fit in if you're not little. He's not saying that you can't be smart. He's saying that it's based on the fact that you simply trust. And that you realize, you trust and that you are growing. Children grow really well. We still grow sometimes, but it's often not the right way. Okay, so here's the question for you. Are you a student of God who knows about God? That's one, all right? A student of God knows about God. A child of God trusts God, right? A student of God knows about God. A child of God trusts God. Which are you? There's a little thing in there. Pop to the next slide. There. Oh, didn't quite line up. Which are you? You can write in there which one you are. I'll give you the answer. Greg's answer. You're both. You're both. Remember? There's a little 3D symbol on the side there. Remember the glasses? You are called to be a student. You are to know about God. All right? That's one of the lenses. You are expected to use your brain. God says, I'm not trying to do stuff that doesn't make sense. I'm not trying to make you do something that's illogical or contradictory or you would normally think it was wrong. No, this should resonate with your soul and what you understand life to be as you grow. All right? But God says, I also need you to kind of get beyond it. I need you to trust me because I'm going to continually stretch you. I'm going to continually ask you to make another step and to go a little bit further than you've ever gone before. And God says, you know, it's okay that you need to learn to trust me. Now, this is important too. Because, you know, love, we just love because we love. God loves us because God loves us. And God asks us just to love God back that way. But trust is earned. Trust is earned. Think about that with a person. You can forgive someone, but will you automatically trust them after you've forgiven them? Not necessarily. We do need to demonstrate trust to each other in order to be trusted. And, you know, that's very consistent with what the Bible teaches us. And God knows that's true for God, too. God says, you need to learn to trust me, and I need to earn your trust from you. Mention a little bit about that in a minute, but that's an important piece. So, as God asks us to be both of these things at the same time, we're going to find that this growing that we're asked to do, it's the hard work stuff, all right? It takes being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's a question we need to ask ourselves all the time. Are you comfortable with being uncomfortable? Because we need to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Martin Luther King, this weekend, is all about that. He knew that we needed to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Change was going to have, needs to be normal. We constantly need to face the parts of ourselves that are incomplete, that need to grow. And he pulled us into that, kicking and screaming. It hurt as a nation. It hurt us as individuals, even when we finally realized we need to do it. Even today, even though we know this is growing, the civil rights and the, you know, including each other as equals is the essential part of our society, we still just make incremental growth towards it because it's uncomfortable. It's hard. We need to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's a big piece about that. So growing requires three things. And that's why I just close in sharing this with you. Growing requires three things. And this is sort of maybe some takeaways for you to think about this week. And if I am going to grow, and if this is going to be hard work and it's going to be uncomfortable, how am I going to reinforce myself so I can do it? And the first thing is perspective. The first thing you need is perspective. You get that perspective by, you know, with the other lens of the glasses, all right? Seeing the world a little bit like God does. Keep that view in front of you daily. Keep cracking God's view of your world daily. SOAP is only one way of doing it, but it's a way that we are trying to embrace as a community, getting to know God's word in a way that can help us understand what, you know, God's view of the world is like a little bit more every day. SOAP isn't an answer, it doesn't teach you everything, but what it does is sort of cracks that door open so the rest of the day you continue to see things through God's lens a little bit more. The second thing is to trust. Growing requires trusting, as we've been talking about. Give God a chance in little things so that you're more likely to give God a chance in big things. Know that that's about applying. That's the A in SOAP. Apply the stuff that you're getting insights in and seeing what God does with it. like I said a minute ago, God knows that God needs to earn trust from you to make some of the bigger steps in life. And God wants to demonstrate that in your life. So give God chances to prove that God is faithful in little things so that you're going to be able to trust God in some bigger things. The third thing that growing requires is support. Support. Do you have the support that you need to keep growing when life gets tough? Do you? Be honest. Do you have that support? And this is people we're talking about, folks. Do you have real people that are there that will be with you on that? This is the whole purpose of group life. Group life is a place we can grow and learn and be challenged, but always be supported and encouraged at the same time. And so, you know, we invite you to take that step, you know, to trust group life to be that for yourself. And if, you know, one group doesn't work, to find another one as well. So, like I said earlier, I don't want to imply that if you would do these things and you grow these things and grow this way, that you're going to do the right stuff and all the problems are going to go away and stuff like that. It doesn't work that way. I wish it were, but it isn't. What I'm saying is that the world is a lot bigger. The world is a lot more amazing and full of possibility than any of us can see right now. And God makes us to be part of that world. In fact, not just part of it, co-creators with it. God really does choose to work through you. The world needs you to grow. God needs you to grow. You're going to find that you want to grow. So I remember my line out of that passage from 2 Corinthians. So if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is seeing the world from God's view and our view, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. May it be so. God, be with us now as we go this week and wrestle with this growing. It's something that we're always doing. We feel it's tugging. But it's good for us to think about it and understand it maybe a little bit more so we can cooperate with the process and not fight it as much. Help us to find the perspective. Help us to trust you in the process. Help us to have support that we need along the way. All this, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.